My name is Rebecca Coyle, and I'm with the Idaho Immunization Program. And I'm going to go ahead and admit up front, I am not the registry coordinator. I have nothing to do, well, I do have something to do with the registry, but I'm at that level. Although recently, I just lost our registry coordinator. So I've had to fill in a little bit more as the program manager and registry manager at the same time. So I'm going to go ahead and try and explain this to you in the most simple terms, because that's the level I get. So what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the process that we used and are now using to kind of look at our registry and make sure that it's doing what we needed to do and that it has a high level of quality information contained within it. So just to give you some background, our state is one of the smaller states. We are not Iowa. We're not located in the middle of the U.S. We're on the left side, really close to Washington and Oregon. So. I say the left side, we're a red state, though. Idaho is an opt-in birth-to-death registry. We allow anybody in there, flu shots, pneumococcal, whatever you want, we can put it in there. With our VFC providers, we only have about 325. We've had actually a huge increase in the last year. We've gone from an average of 300 to now over 300. With that, we're getting about 87% of those providers enrolled and using our registry. Of that 87%, we have 75% that are submitting data to the registry, whether it be through exports from their billing or electronic health record system, through hand data entry, and then we also have contracts with our health departments to do some of the hand data entry for our providers. As of March 1st, we had, well, I can now say we have over 367,000 patients in there and about 4.8 million vaccination events in there. As I mentioned before, we are an opt-in registry, which adds a significant level of difficulty when you're trying to do things quickly and easily. However, we do have about 90% of our babies being consented at birth, and then we do have an automatic data dump from our vital stats. It goes in on the electronic birth certificate, which helps us out significantly. By the time they're 2 years of age, we have virtually 100% of our kids in the registry. So, back in 2006, we were faced with some funding crunches, and there were some concerns from outside entities, from our immunization providers, our health departments, our stakeholders, and they were very concerned about the quality of data within our registry. It's great to have everything in there, but what does it mean if it's not right? So, the perception that was out there is that our errors within the registry were 75%. Okay, if you know anything about, it doesn't take that stats class for us to know that 75% of errors is not a good thing. So we had to look at this a little more closely. As I mentioned before, we're kind of in that funding crunch. That's also the time where we are going to be requesting funding from the state legislature for our registry. So, of course, those questions are going to come up because as any good state senator or person out there, representative, might be asking you any kind of question at any given point in time. Preference is usually 4:45 on a Friday afternoon, so. And I wasn't there, so I didn't have to do this. So with that, we started to look at things a little more closely. And in the 2006-2007 timeframe, there was a statewide assessment conducted. What we did find is that the error rate was much lower than what we actually thought. However, it still kind of showed us that we had a problem and that we needed to really focus on this with providers to maintain the good quality that we have and to improve it. So last year in 2007, what we did is we partnered with our Quality Assurance Review, which is our AFIX in our state, with the site visits that were already scheduled. We just pulled those providers, looked at 37 throughout the state, and kind of conducted a data quality visit with them. So what we found with that is that there was a need to increase knowledge among providers about quality of data. And how could we do that in a non-intimidating way to where they would actually appreciate us coming in? We actually had a summit back in November with all of our key stakeholders from throughout the state. And what was amazing is, you know, we're like, data quality, data quality, data quality. And they're like, we've already tuned out. We don't care about data quality. You're going to have to do something different. So what we did is we decided that in 2008, we were going to look at things more differently. And we were just going to title it an IRIS visit because that's the name of our registry. We're going to talk a little bit about everything. And the nice thing about being from a small state is that everybody does everything. So if you are a quality assurance specialist, you also know something about the registry because you're the eyes and ears of the program out in the field, and you're the one who's going to be talking to them. So you can kind of have a conversation about refrigerators and the registry, you know, almost in the same sentence. So what we did with 2008 that was completely different from 2007 was we decided to standardize it. We had a statistician look at it. Somebody else went to the stats class, and had them look at that data and make sure that what we were doing was actually something that, A, could be repeated, and that would also give us decent numbers. So we now have one person doing all of the site visits as opposed to our quality assurance specialists who are trained in various areas. This person actually does quality assurance visits as well, but now tags on some different iris visits. So with that, we pulled a random sample for visits for this year, and then from that, we placed all of our other providers on a rotating schedule over a four-year period. So what happens in this whole process, and I'm primarily talking about the provider side of it, we pull the data from our registry, we dump it into COCASA, and then we look at some of the missing immunization reports and a few other reports in there as well, the diagnostic report. And then we also pull some other reports related to the provider from IRIS regarding their data quality and submission details. Primarily with that, we're trying to find out how frequently are they accessing the registry, are they doing data entry, those types of things. Now, the reports that we use, just this is the real specific stuff. It doesn't really mean anything. These are the kinds of reports that we pull. We also look in VACMAN to kind of pull some of their usage, just so we can kind of see what level we should expect within the registry. And then we also pull rate information, because that we unfortunately are a state that has pretty low immunization rates, so we're really trying to improve that, and this is one of the ways we see that we're going to be able to do that. So with our visits, once we've pulled those charts out of IRIS, we then go into the provider's office, and we have the provider pull 30 patient charts to match the numbers that we have now in COCASA. From there, both the IRIS record and the patient chart are compared to see how accurate they are. So every little different thing in there is marked down, from things like missing middle name to mother's maiden name, some of those identifiers, to vaccination dates. And it goes both ways. Sometimes you're going to find things in the registry that are not necessarily in the patient's chart. So really, it's a chance for the provider to see the utility of the registry and to help us improve the data within there. So after we give them their cute little report, which I'll show you in a minute, the providers are requested to update the missing and or different information in the registry and preferably in their charts as well for accuracy. And then at 30 days post-visit, we then pull another pull from the registry, dump it into COCASA, and look at that exact same cohort once again to see if there's some improvements. From there, we let it go to 3 months. At 3 months, they receive a phone call saying, hey, how are things going? Have you had a chance to update everything? Is there anything we can help you out with? We do another pull at 3 months, and then again at 4 months. So we're really kind of walking them through the process. It's not just a we're here today, gone tomorrow. We want them to know that, hey, we really care about this. We also try and look at the reports and what's missing and really discuss the issues with them, whether it's scheduling, whether they're not able to select the correct vaccine type, and who knows, they may not even know the correct vaccine type, so there's a little bit of education that goes in there. And then if there's any empty data fields, we also talk to them about how to fill that in. That's a cute little report. It's really not all that cute, but it just kind of shows you some of the things that we include in there, from rate information to the demographics. So in addition to discussing not only just the data quality side of it, we also look at some of the other things, provider resources. As I mentioned, small state, we can talk about everything with them. We talk about information that's posted on the website, and then also how to do some of the real common things that we need them to do in the registry, such as MOGIing patients. Patients move all the time, and making sure that we keep them in the registry and connected to the correct provider is very important. So we want to teach them how to do that. Also, we want to make sure that it's really simple to use. Going from that fortress over to the cafe side, we want them to see the shortcuts that are built into the system to make it easy for them. And then also utilizing the forecasting option. We have a very good forecaster. The problem is that providers don't necessarily know that it's there. So kind of switching over a little bit to the database data quality script side of it, we then at the state look at other things, and we're again at that 10,000 foot level. So we look at combination vaccines that might be recorded, as well as single antigen vaccines that might be recorded on the same day as a potential error. We also look at unspecified vaccines, whether it conflicts with other vaccines in that family type. For example, the Hibs are fun to play with. And then we're currently in the process of generating a plan for addressing these issues within the scripts and really trying to resolve those internally. So where we're at right now, we are finishing up our first quarter with the new improved IRIS visits. Our providers so far are really responding to it. And like I said, we pulled a random listing of providers. So we have providers that, you know, may just look up a patient in IRIS, and now we're getting them to actually understand the data quality side of it and see the utility. So we're really getting them more on board with what the system has to offer. It also gives us an opportunity to really assess provider needs, whether they are needing help with different areas. Again, we're a small state, so we have to contract out some of our training needs to our health departments, and really being able to give that information back to our health departments, okay, this is the need that we see. Some of the needs and the issues that we've seen out there have created positive results for us, and that it's creating changes within the practice. And then hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers that next year I can come back and tell you that, hey, we had such a great success with this. Our rates have gone up by this much. I'm hopeful, but I'm not sure that it'll happen in a year's time. But we really do hope to see an increase in our data quality and our immunization rates. So that is all I have for you. Thank you.
We'll take questions now, and this is a large audience, so please try to use the microphone that's set up for you.
Can I ask my question? Okay. I just wanted to ask about MOGIs. I know the second presentation mentioned it. I'm not sure the first may have also, but how do you get providers to indicate that the child is a MOGI, and what's the criteria for that decision?
I'm self-admittedly not an expert on this, but I believe ERA actually just produced a document on MOGIing and the criteria out there.
Okay.
At the state level, we've had criteria when we've been doing our quality assurance visits that a child that hasn't been seen by the practice within the last year is considered moved or gone elsewhere. So that's the point that we exclude them. And then within the registry, you can simply say do not associate with this provider. You can it'll say MOGI in there is what it
All
will
right.
do.
So you sort of pull the kids associated with the provider who've been vaccinated within 1 year by that provider.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So there isn't really a field that says MOGI that the provider has a chance to check or something like
Well,
that.
Well, no, there is actually on the
there
on
is.
Our on our
okay.
field. Yes, you can see that the child has been moved or gone elsewhere.
And do you find that they're using it or
depends on the provider office, but overall, yes.
Okay, because our AFIX team wants to use our registry more for assessments, mm-hmm. but feels that they need some mechanism for the provider to indicate of the sample drawn who's a MOGI. So I guess you
see, and when we pull our sample, if it's a moved or gone elsewhere and it's indicated, correct me if I'm wrong, it won't pull with that because it's no longer associated with that provider. So
if the provider checks it off, when you
right.
pull the
puts them in virtual space. So they're just in the registry.
And then, but they go to a different practice, they go to put something in and activate them back on automatically to that practice.
Okay. And then if it's a large provider with a large number of two-year-olds and the sample you're looking at is 100, do you tell the provider what the sample is so that they can...
We're just looking at 30. So we'll randomly
30.
Assign them 30.
Okay. And you tell the provider which 30, and then they have a chance to say moved and gone elsewhere or anything else? Or
well, you're
going to
look at that 30,
right.
30 charts. You're going to look at both of them. As you're going through that patient chart, you're going to know whether that child has been in within the last year. And so if you see something like, I mean,
you will exclude that.
Right, exactly.
But then you have to go back and get another kid because you need 30.
True.
Right?
But, I mean, it's...
So it might be an iterative process.
Carrie does it for us, and she usually pulls alternates as well. So you've got a little flexibility within that.
Right. Okay.
Printing out their missing immunization report had over 900 kids on it.
Okay.
It's probably the best antenatal entry person in our state because we looked them up and I make notes for her. I'm going to. She also does this on a quarterly basis herself. She pulls this report because she now knows about it and she tries to motivate her kids on a more active basis. But we do, you know, usually we just kind of. I usually pick the 30 they want. Always use find things.
Okay, that's a very different methodology than our AFIX. I mean, it has to be, in our case, it's a randomly drawn sample and, you know. Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Bridget Ahrens of Vermont. My question is for Nathan. Nathan, love the presentation. I really like the new energy that you're bringing to the registry world. There was something that you talked about with regard to data import, a new way. And you went over it kind of quickly, and I just wanted a little more detail. That's when you're talking about data import and the certification process, the old way was to take a batch of data from somebody and certify it and test.
Yes.
And then move it into the live system. Your new way, if I'm understanding, is to put it right in but keep it quarantined. Can you talk a little bit more about why you do that, and do you let the provider see it while it's in quarantine and work with them in any way?
Yeah, what I mean by quarantine is that our process for getting the database has a two-step process. One, it's imported in and it's put into a staging area. And normally, it used to be, it moved in within 5 minutes. It actually just moved right into the production system. So the simple change that we did is that we actually can move it into a queue where it's held and it's actually not merged into the system until we feel comfortable with the data that's there. And in that area, we can actually run data quality reports on that data from that point. And the provider can actually run reports and take a look at the aggregate information about the data. But they don't see it in the registry yet. And so the benefit to us is that instead of asking the provider, we probably have to set up an interface for them to upload the information, and we have to wait until we like their data. So we first have them try to zip it up and password protect it and then try to get it to us some other way. Then we look at the data, and then 2 months later we have to come back again and then train them about how to upload the data into the registry. Now we can just contact them, and right when we contact them and say, yeah, let's start uploading it right now. We can see you have this kind of file format. We'll start taking it now. And it seems like it's not such a big deal, but because we do it so much, it's much more simple to just go straight to production.
Gotcha.
So.
Thank you.
Question for Nathan then. The distribution of vaccines and what's normal or average, how do you determine what the frequency is for various vaccines?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's what the report was showing, is that what we do is we do two kinds of measurements. One, we look at all clinics that are similar to that, and we look at the rate of those, and then we look if it's outside the bounds of that. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so we have a reference set. The reference set, there's two reference sets. One is the clinic, all clinics for that reporting month, and the other reference set is that same clinic over time. So once you've been reporting for 12 months, we can look at this month, is it unusual compared to all the previous months? And that's the same thing a human user would do if you were spending all your time reading the record. You go through and say, wow, this month they gave a whole lot of Hep Bs. This will do the same thing. Instead of having to examine all the time, you can just pull a report and those will be flagged by saying they're unusual.
So for a state registry, would you suggest looking at all the vaccine doses that administered or entered in the registry as given in a particular month, and then compare, you know, the clinics you want to examine to that?
Yes. Yeah, so you would take and you would look, and what you can come report is everyone who's outside that range. And usually most of the people outside the range is because there's differences in how they do their clinical practice.
Right.
But it can also point to data quality problems.
Right.
And that's the kind of reports you create. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
More questions? No more questions? Are you sure? All right. With that, it's almost 5 o'clock. I want to thank both our speakers.